So good to see you all. I'm very excited about the word that the Lord has put on my heart today. Today's word is all about the power of our words. So before we launch in, let's pray. Because I know the enemy would love to shut things down. He'd like to close ears. He'd like to keep our eyes from being open. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are our God, that you are in us, you are with us, and you are through us. And we just say no to anything that's not of you. We want only you today. Lord, we just pray that you allow us to hear what you want us to hear today. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that nothing will come out of my mouth unless it's what you want. I thank you, Lord, for this time together. And I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful vision that you gave me that you're going to set people free today. Lord, I just declare that in the name of Jesus Christ that people are getting out of traps today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So, will you, hello. There's some faces in here that I'm just really thrilled to see. Really good old friend here on the front row. Newlyweds back there in that corner. Oh, just first time back. Praise the Lord. So exciting. Today, as we look at the fact that words have power, I want you to know that our God has so much power. And his words are greater than any words, right? His name is above all names. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 through 35. So our words have the power to destroy, and they have the power to lift up. Words can come from the enemy, or words can come from the lover of your soul. We need to know this, because we're in a battle, right? You're in a battle, whether you like it or not. And that's because you're the light, and the enemy loves his darkness. The enemy doesn't really love the light that you shine. He didn't like it. You don't match his decorating scheme. And so he is, of course, happy and willing to do all kinds of things to throw you off your path. The ancient theologian Augustine said, "The life of man upon the earth is warfare." He was a theologian, a philosopher, a bishop, whose ministry was about 400 AD. So this was recognized very early on. The thing of it is some of you right now are fighting battles that nobody even knows about. You're fighting the pressure to perform, the feeling that you're not good enough, the feeling that you're not strong enough to do what God wants you to do. You're fighting that reoccurring temptation that keeps showing up and you think you'll never win. You're fighting fear. You're fighting the reminder of a past failure that you can't seem to change. You're fighting the words that have been spoken of you. You're fighting the things, the mean things that people have said. Oh, yeah. The battle is real, right? Yeah. But can I just tell you? In him, you win. So let's go to Romans 8:31-5 right now. Oh, sorry, 31 through 35. And let's read this together. What then shall we say to these things that we are battling in our minds? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are, let's say it together, more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, that's something to get excited about. In the battle that we have before us and around us, it's critically important that we know how to use our words. You saw how that in Romans 8:31 it said, what then should we say to these things, right? Isn't it interesting how we can battle in our own mind something? I mean, literally, we can be a people who succumb to the battle, or we can look to the Lord and see what he has to say about it. Because we know that there is power in our words. Let's just say this out loud. God is for us. Nothing can come against us. We are more than conquerors. Yeah. Some of you need to say that not just to yourself or just out loud. You might need to say that to the enemy, actually in prayer. You may need to declare it to the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. You may need to take the authority of the believer over what's coming into your head. Do you know, in the same way I had to fight to keep my healing after I was healed physically, and then the enemy brought the symptoms back on that night, and I had to fight? In the same way we have to fight in those words that pop into our heads, those thoughts that say, you really can't do that. You know? The thought that I could be anointed enough to do what God has called me to do, stand here and do this today. Yeah, he has. There was a really profound experience where I was knocked to the ground for 2 straight hours while he talked to me, and I had no recollection of what was going on around me. I had an extreme calling where I know that I know that I know that he wants me to do what I'm doing. And yet, as I was standing back there in the back in worship, I was thinking, you know, that thought throws through my head. Ah, yeah, that's why he says capture every thought, right? The thought throws into my head like, ooh, should I do this? Can I just tell you what glorious thing happened while I was back there? A man tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hi, I don't know you, my name is Robert, but I want you to know I feel the anointing all over you. Thank you, Robert. How beautiful is that when our words release life over someone, right? That's really what this message is about. Let's start moving toward being a community where the words that come out of our mouth are words that lift each other up, build each other up, encourage each other, right? How good is that? You know, some of the problem with The problem with actually trying to be a person that has good things flowing out of us is oftentimes we are in this position where we can't really do that because we've been so busy punishing ourselves verbally. And so when we punish ourselves verbally, what comes out of us? Yeah, not words of life. It's a lot harder to release words of life if we're busy punishing ourselves. And where does that punishment come from? The punishment comes from listening to the lies of the enemy and believing them. The more he pummels our head with, you're not this, you're not that, you can't do that. What makes you think that you can do that? What qualifies you? You know, the more we listen to those things, the more we actually begin to believe in. That's why the word says, capture every thought. In the same way I had to fight for my physical healing, when the symptoms came back, I had to say, no, that has to go in the name of Jesus because I know I was healed. In the same way I told that pain to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, we have to do the very same thing when the enemy pummels our head. Capturing every thought, telling it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. If we don't do that, we are not going to live out our destiny. We all have a God-given destiny. He predestined before the very beginning of time for us to live and do specific things. And if we allow the enemy to pummel our heads, we will not have what we need for our God-given destiny. Make sense? Yeah. Okay, so we know that we are in this spiritual battle. But in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, you've been given all the weapons that you need to fight the good fight. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You know, there are a lot of messages preached that you can live in the glory of God, but let me tell you how to do it. You need to take up the authority that you've been given, and you need to tell the enemy he has no right in your head. Yep. Your words are really powerful in the Spirit. In Him, you win. That's the good news. So don't grow weary. Do not grow weary. This is why the Apostle Paul encourages to not grow weary in Galatians 6:9. If you'll turn to Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So if doing good was easy, you would not grow weary. The fact that you are weary is not because you quit, it's because you're still in the fight. So if you're feeling weary this morning, do not give up, because you cannot afford to lose. You cannot afford to lose the battle. You cannot afford to be diverted from the God-given destiny, that person you're supposed to be. You cannot afford, you can't afford any losses. You can't afford the loss of your spouse. You can't afford the loss of your marriage. You can't afford the loss of your business. You can't afford the loss of your peace. You can't afford those loses, right? Those losses. And you don't need to. That's the good news, because in Him, we win. Yeah. And prophecy declares that we win. You know, He has never lost a battle, and He's not going to start with you. There are over 2,500 different prophecies in the Bible. 2,000 of them have already been filled. 300 of those are all about the birth of Jesus. And the remaining prophecies are all about His return. He is coming back. He's coming back for His church. We know how the story ends, right? Prophecy says we win. Good news. Let's turn to Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, God is for you. And what's the proof of that? The cross. The shed blood of Jesus was poured out as a transaction to say God loves you. God is for you. God brought your salvation with his blood. So if God gave you his best when you deserve the least, then why would he hold anything back now? He didn't hold back his son. The process settles it once and for all. God is for you. So, okay, this doesn't mean you're not going to face opposition, right? It just means that when the opposition doesn't get the final word. Whatever the enemy tries to throw on you, anxiety, shame, weariness, reminders of your mistakes, you have to remember, you've already won the victory. He's on your team. You got the very best top Heisman Trophy guy on your team. So you're going to win the game. Romans 8:34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So this verse tells us that none can condemn us. None can condemn us, not even the forces of the enemy, nor anyone here on this earth. No one can condemn us. The word condemn means to pronounce complete disapproval, to declare someone guilty, to sentence them to punishment and often death. Now take note that Paul is using courtroom language in this verse. The word condemn is something that you would find in a courtroom. So we're talking about what's happening in the courts of heaven. We've all heard the voice of condemnation in our life. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never get it right. You're not enough. Some have even heard you should have never even been born. But those are the words of the enemy. It's not just that the devil comes at you, but when we don't recognize that the devil is talking to us, then we start believing his lies, as I mentioned earlier, and we actually start to whisper death sentences over ourselves. We are the ones that are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we do this to ourselves. Oh yeah, we make it personal. Satan says, you're not enough. And then we say, I'll never be enough. Oh, the power of our words, right? If we do this long enough, you know, it's a matter of time before we just begin to do it to others. I mentioned that earlier. Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Mm-hmm. So the enemy, the enemy wants you to be tied up, bound up. He doesn't want you to be acquitted. The Holy Spirit will convict, but never condemn. Have you noticed that? The way the Holy Spirit teaches us just feels like guidance rather than condemning us. If you're hearing a voice that says you're condemned, you're not listening to the right voice. Because that's just not how he speaks. He speaks like the greatest teacher in the world. Therefore, we will be a people who will not listen to the enemy, nor will we throw verbal stones at each other. We are a people who look and behave like our Father. We are a people who will use words to love one another, because our Father is love. Acquitting is the opposite of condemning. Acquitting means to set free, to have the charges dropped. The enemy doesn't want you to be acquitted. Mm-hmm. So, we are going to live as people of the light, we're going to make sure that we don't chain people up with our words. We're going to be a people who set people free, lift them up, and build them up. Let's go to Proverbs 15:4. Again, I just say to you, our words are powerful. Proverbs 15:4, gentle words bring life and health, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 18:4, a person's word can give life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are refreshing as a bubbling brook. Anybody want to be a bubbling brook to somebody else? Good. Proverbs 11:9, evil words destroy one's friends, but wise discernment rescues the godly. Oh yeah, the battle's real, but we, in him, we're going to win, right? Just with a little reminder of how important our words are, we can make a huge difference to the people around us, right? To the people that you work with, to your neighbors, to the people here. Words truly do have power. Now, what I'd like to talk to you just a little bit is the word that's given from God to you to give to someone else. This is what is called prophecy. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and for some of you, this may seem elementary, but I think it's really important because we have people at all different places in the room today that we review the fact that we have been given spiritual gifts. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 12, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So, we don't want to be ignorant, right? So let's read about the spiritual gifts. You'll find some in other places. You'll find some in Romans. Today we're just going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. According to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who portions to each one individually as he wills. And let's look at Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. So, I'm out of order in my notes, but let me just tell you, do you remember what Paul said? He said, eagerly desire the gifts. Especially that you would prophesy. Well, you can see how a word, a good word from the Lord, would be a really good thing, right? How sweet that was that man said that to me this morning. And I'm telling you what, I, in the last 2 weeks, have gotten several very encouraging words from people. How delightful to get a text from somebody who said, one of our elders who said, you have the plans for us and you have the way to maneuver through. How encouraging was that, right? I tell you what, I have gotten some beautiful, encouraging words that have uplifted me and really helped me. And I know that that if we were to build a group of people who became really prophetic, we would be building other people up and we would be loving other people in the way that God would like us to love them, right? So it sometimes takes intentionality. Those of you who are prophetic, you literally have to give yourself to it, needing to actually ask the Lord for a word for somebody when you walk in a room. Yeah, but it is so worth it when you do. So, but when you do that, let's keep in mind that there is a difference between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. Many will hear the word prophesy and their mind goes to the Old Testament prophets. Those prophets were bringing correction and to the disobedient nation of Israel. The people of that time did not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. So they didn't have any conviction. They were a bit barbaric. They needed correction. But today, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Thank goodness. We can hear from Him. He can convict us. So let's be people who bring the kind of prophecy that will upbuild. It will lift them up. It'll bring them hope. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And that's the verse I just quoted that Paul said. And in 4:5, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more so that you would prophesy." Why is that? Because when we prophesy, we share the love of Jesus. We even give information that can only be given by God to that person. And so we'll give them something that will really encourage them and help them and give them direction. Prophecy does not come from our own thoughts or wishes for another. It's a revelation from God. I had so much fun. I texted a friend of mine and I said, "Would you ask the Lord for a word for me?" 24 hours later, I got a message back. She goes, "Well, I'm in India. I'm getting ready to preach to a pastor's conference." And she goes, "Well, let me ask my team." So she had her team who did not know me at all and asked the Lord, each of them asked the Lord for a word for me. And I'm telling you what, that was so exciting because I knew that they didn't know me. They don't know anything about me. And the word that they gave just felt really clean. So that's one of the, it feels really clean because it's straight from God. It's not processed through our own thoughts and our own emotions about what you're thinking that person needs. Do you follow? So as we pursue the gift of prophecy, we really need to get educated on how to deliver it, how to discern the voice of God and make sure that we are not, we're not giving a word that's coming from us, but it's actually coming from the Lord. So we're going to look now at the purpose of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3. I just love this. I basically mentioned this earlier. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. So some translation use the words edification, encouragement, and comfort. The word edification in the Greek is oikodomen, which implies strengthening and building up. And the word encouragement in the Greek is paraklesen, which means offering support and motivation and helping people persevere in their faith. And comfort, we know by the scriptures that God is the God of all comfort. So a word from Him will bring peace, it will bring reassurance, and especially during times of uncertainty and trial. Let's turn to Proverbs 12:25. "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word made him glad." That's the kind of prophetic community that we want to be. We want to be the kind of community that's going to make others glad, right? So, all can prophesy. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 14:3, for you all can prophesy one by one, that they may learn and all may be encouraged. Now, take note that this comes from the context of Paul bringing order to the assembly. And he was saying, no, let's do this all one by one. Let's not talk over the top of each other, right? But he didn't say that some of you can prophesy, those who have the gift of prophecy or those who are prophets. He said, all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged. Sometimes the prophetic word actually looks like what I'm doing right here on the platform. It actually looks like releasing a message, a prophetic message that would cause you to be able to learn. So we see that the purpose of prophecy is primarily to encourage and uplift, to bring comfort, and also to learn. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So I would just encourage all of you with this verse. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. Yeah, it's all about encouraging other people. I mean, have you ever noticed that if you said something nasty to somebody, you don't feel very good afterwards? It's the exact opposite with prophecy. When you say something that's good, it lifts people up and you feel really good too. It's a really good feeling. So a good word can help our brothers and sisters fight and withstand whatever battle that they're in, but it can also encourage you. And let's go to Proverbs 12:25. Oh, I think I already gave you that one. All right, so here we are. We're a group of people that want to love like Jesus loved. We're a group of people who want to encourage each other and lift each other up. So we really need to get some training if we're going to pursue prophecy. First of all, the gift of prophecy is a gift. And so some will argue that, how can you possibly teach on prophecy? It's a gift. Well, it's a gift from God, but it takes a while to learn how to deliver the word in a way that would build people up. But before we do all of that, you will not receive a word from the Lord unless you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Some people have just believed and not asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, surrender yourself to Jesus completely, and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with himself. Just fill you up completely with himself. Acts 19:1-6. And it happened that while Apollo was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. In my notes, it says emphasis. That's why I had to look up. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. Wow. So you can believe, but not have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. You can have the Holy Spirit with you, but not indwelling you. And so here we have evidence of that. I'm going to back up to there. He found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came into them, and they began speaking in tongues and praying. prophesying. How delightful is that? All right, so that's our first step on how to prophesy. Number two, become a friend of God by spending time with him. Let's go to John 15, 15. I think this is such an important verse. Kind of delights me that it's very even. 15, 15, very balanced, you know. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How is that possible? Everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Now, with the Holy Spirit, he does the very same with us. He's willing to make everything that he's learned from the Father known to you. And when he does that, you can release that to someone else. All right, number three, look up the scriptures on prophecy and ask for the Lord for revelation as you study. You know, I can tell you, this is like best case scenario is what I'm giving you. It's not what I did. I started hearing from the Lord and telling people what I was hearing. And then afterwards, I'm like, how is this even possible? I know things about people that I could not know. How is that possible? So I started looking up all the scriptures. I did the backwards. I started looking up all the scriptures on prophecy and went, oh yeah, this is real. So look up the scriptures. I suggest doing it ahead of time. Look up the scriptures on prophecy and ask the Lord for revelation as you study. There are so many scriptures, and there's so much available to us online right now. It's so easy for you to pop on, you know, to YouTube and listen to messages on prophecy and get information. It's so easy for you to literally put in your Google bar scriptures on prophecy. You'll get a whole list. You can look them up. You can ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you're looking them up and give you revelation over each one of them. I have noticed that when diving into the Word and asking the Holy Spirit to do that, as I have done that, the anointing has gotten stronger, because all of a sudden, I know even more about somebody. All of a sudden, I hear more details about why they need to be healed. I hear what he's going to do. Do you see what I mean? Because I got a revelation through the Word of God. So not just hearing about it, but actually hearing from the Holy Spirit through the Word. So let's go to Jeremiah 33:3. This is just one of them. Also, this one makes me happy too. 3:3:3. Does something for my design brain. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. That's what the Lord is willing to do. Okay, number four in our how to prophecy, precursors to how to prophecy, is to ask the Lord for the gift of prophecy. You know, he is a God who just loves to give good gifts to his children. And of course, if he wants you to love people, if he wants you to encourage people, which I do believe he does, then of course he's going to give you the gift so that you may do that. He's not a stingy God. He's like this God who has this giant, shows me all the time, this giant banquet table. It's covered with all kinds of desserts. Like, it reminds me of when I went on a cruise one time, and I've never seen so many gorgeous desserts all laid out, and they even lay them out like beautifully, you know. It's a literal artwork, the way they position them on the table, and the whole table is completely full. That's the picture that the Lord gives me. Oh yeah, some of you getting hungry for dessert now. That's the picture that the Lord, oh, that's, by the way, why I don't go on cruises anymore, because that work very good for me. That's a lot of temptation. Anyway, the Lord shows me this all the time. He shows me this big banquet table, and he's like, you got, tell them to come and get it. They can get everything that they want from me. I want them to have it. I'm not stingy. I want them to have everything that they need to be able to share my love with others everywhere that they go. That's his desire. He's not holding anything back from you. So if you ask the Lord for the gift of prophecy and you earnestly mean it, you'll receive it. Matthew 7:11, let's take a look at that verse. Matthew 7:11 tells us to keep asking as well and keep seeking. Ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you'll find, and knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Oh, that's our good God. You keep asking. If you, I may have shared this with you before, but I remember I knew I was moving in the gift of healing, but then I started seeing that people needed the gift of a miracle. They needed a miracle. They needed a whole new body part. So I prayed for about 3 months until I started seeing that start to happen. Yeah, so ask and keep on asking. Seek, and you will find, because he's a good God who wants to give it. Our next step is learn how to discern the voice and make sure that you are hearing from the right source, from the Holy Spirit. Because you can hear, you can see, and you can sense in your own spirit. You can hear from the enemy. You can hear from angels, right? Or you can hear from the Holy Spirit. Let's get it from the right source. And you may need to get training to make sure that you are know that you are hearing from God. So the Lord kind of put it on my heart last spring that it was in the fall that it would be a good idea to start thinking about doing some kind of training in the prophetic. So that's what's coming up next. I have this burden on my heart for all of us to become a prophetic community. I think it would be absolutely delightful if we had a team of people who actually really excelled in it, and they met every one of our visitors at the door and they gave them a beautiful word of encouragement. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. So keep your ears tuned for what's ahead in terms of training on the prophetic. There is no way that I could give you all of that right now in this message. 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but by men. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. Also, I think it's important that you test in doing what you believe you've heard. Oftentimes when you do that, you'll know that it's from God. So you believe the Lord has told you to do something and you don't do it because it seems too risky. But you do need to do it, and then you'll know that it was from God. So I don't know is Brianna, are you here today? So she told me this wonderful story about how she was driving through the parking lot here, and the Lord, all of a sudden she just got a vision of her standing under the sprinkler. And then she thought, I think that might be God. She didn't know why, but she just took the risk. She got out of her car, she parked the car, got out, and went and stood under the sprinkler. So then, as a second-year VSSM student, she was telling me this story, and I said, that's amazing. Did you ask the Lord why he wanted you to do that? And she said, no. So the next week at VSSM, she reported back to me why God wanted her to do that. Isn't that just beautiful? Sometimes you just have to step out and do what he's asked you to do, and then you find it actually is God. And I'm not telling you the whole end of the story, but it was beautiful what God, the reason why God wanted her to do that. He did want her to know, wanted her to be filled and refreshed. Isn't that beautiful? One time I heard something from the Lord and booked an airline ticket and flew all the way to the East Coast as a result of it. Took us 3 hops to get there. Sometimes it requires actually radical obedience to see the breakthrough. It's very interesting. All right, and our next step is check your motivation and make sure that it's all about love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:2. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. It's all about love. It's all about living from love, the love of the Father, and in love with your Lord Jesus Christ, and through love, releasing what he gives you. Next, almost done, second to last step, get training on prophetic protocol, prophetic etiquette. In my ministry school, I was taught you never prophesy dates, mates, and babies. Because you could hear wrong, and someone could believe that, and then you're hanging God out on the plank over the, you know, like you could hear wrong and you drag God along with you. So make sure that you learn prophetic protocol. Prophetic protocol would even include things like saying, delivering a word in a natural, normal way, not, and thus says the Lord, God Almighty. Instead, you might say, I believe, or I sense that God is saying this for you. But these are the kinds of things that need a full training, lots of information. As you know, you can garner lots of information through books and online right now. If you have a desire for that, I highly suggest that you pursue that. And then also, you know, if we get our class together, come. It'll be really valuable. And then finally, I would just say that you need to practice prophecy on a safe person. All the pastors of your church, by the way, are safe people because their faith is not going to be destroyed if you release a word that's harsh. They're going to be able to handle what you say, and you could practice. And a lot of them actually will be able to test the word and be able to hear whether or not that word is from the Lord or not. So prophecy comes by first receiving a revelation. So you get a picture, or you get a sense, or you get you hear specifically something, you get a revelation. Then you listen for the interpretation. You ask God, what does that mean? And then the final step in prophecy is application, and you always leave application to the recipient. You don't need to apply it to their lives. It's their job to do that. So, in conclusion, it would be just delightful if we would all do as Paul suggested and eagerly pursue the gifts, especially that we would prophesy. The pursuit of the prophetic word would make us a community that would build each other up, encourage each other, and comfort each other. And does that sound good? Yes. Okay. We know that words are powerful, and that's exactly what is needed in today's world as we fight this battle. I think we need it even more so right now. Just showing this picture of hands with a flower, because we have something to give to the world around us, right? He is in us, and we're in him, so we have beautiful words to be able to give to others, to strengthen and encourage. Yeah. And we're winning the battle in an even better way when we have that, right?